Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares a look at universal energy healing, spiritual communication, and offers insights in how to awaken to your true human and divine potential. I am delighted to welcome Thomas Gagliano, author of Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. As of course, this is nearly impossible without paying great attention to why you do the things you do, and because most people are not aware of their own limitations and fears developed during their childhood and keep perpetuating the same stories, beliefs, and illusions their parents taught them. It is a cycle of fear that can only be overcome by recognizing it, improving ourselves, and becoming better examples for our children. Hello, Tom, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Cheryl. My pleasure.
Tom, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, my guests and I share our experiences and views of learning to see the world in a more open-minded and holistic way, seeking answers to questions about life, human nature, universal energy, so we may work towards improving our emotional, physical, and spiritual realities. The goal is self-realization and self-mastery of our emotions for higher consciousness and a better quality of life. In today's episode, Tom, who is a parenting and relationship expert and a leader in the field of addiction and self-help therapy, discusses bullying, anger issues, and how to develop greater self-respect and intimacy by allowing ourselves to forgive and build on our strengths, and at the same time find ways to give more attention to our weaknesses. Tom, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person or a place, an event, or values they had, or maybe interests that pointed the way to the work and lifestyle they are living now, because I believe we are born into this world with a plan to discover more about our own inner needs, and many of our experiences are not random, but part of that bigger plan or destiny. So think back for a minute to the boy, to the young man, and to the man you are today.
Well, I love the question, Cheryl. You know, for me, I had a challenging childhood. I really didn't have anyone safe to talk to. I had a dad that was an alcoholic, and if he came home at a certain time, he was late, and then he was drunk, and then he was going to hurt someone. I had a mom that used to take me to hotel rooms and used to make me knock on the door when my father was in the room with another woman, and she'd disappear, and my father would open the door with whoever he was there with, and I'd sit there and look at this at age 8 and 9 years old. I did not have anyone safe to talk to about this. Now, what happened to me is life taught me a lesson. I became very self-centered, very controlling. I was a bully as a kid, went into addictions, and life said to me, Tom, you're going to lead a very lonely life unless you get help. And ironically, it was my father, the one that was multiply addicted, that really turned that corner. It was really one day in the hospital. He was dying of cancer. He was hooked up to morphine and medications. And I went in to see him. My mother said, listen, you should see him soon. He's going to die soon. I know you don't get along with him, but you should see him. And when I sat there talking to him, he was a man that went to Alcoholics Anonymous for 15 years. And he looked at me as I was sitting in the chair in a very weak and frail voice. He said, Tom, he said, you know, I was sitting where you were sitting 20 years ago. My father was dying of lung cancer. I could never tell my father I cared for him. I could never tell my father how I felt. And I don't want that to happen to you. And I think that he saw my pain, even in all the pain he was in. And as I got up from that chair and I took his hand, he pulled me close and he started to cry. I never saw my father cry before. The only time I really remember that is when he would beat the living daylights out of me as a kid and come into the room afterwards in a drunken stoop and ask me for forgiveness. That's the only time I saw that. And I left that hospital room really, really bent up inside. You know, all addicts have intimacy problems. They don't like intimacy. They run from discomfort. And I wanted to run to my addictions. But somehow, some way, that elevator door in the hospital opened, and out popped a guy that was from one of the meetings I was going to. And I grabbed that guy and I hugged him, and he probably said, "Gee, I didn't know Tom liked me this much." But boy, oh boy, I believe my higher power sent him to me that day.
Absolutely. You know what,
yep.
Tom? I think many of my esteemed guests who are healers in the world have experienced childhoods filled with trauma and not understanding why people did the things they were, because they were mature souls and they couldn't understand why people were not behaving in a more loving and compassionate way. And you had that, and many, many, many of my guests. But I think in that moment, you saw your father for a moment, and you forgave him for a moment, even past all that. And I want to say something else. I don't think there's anyone on this planet that doesn't have some form of addiction or something in their patterns that need to be changed. Addiction simply, you know, doing repeated things that don't end well and not knowing how to break the patterns, whether it's shopping too much or drinking or drugs or sex or physical abuse. It's all stemming from what you said, the pain.
Right.
Everyone wants to move from pain to happiness and joy. They just don't always know how to do it. But thank you for that story, because it's very honest and it's very reflective of who you are today and the work you do today. But let's go on to say, you recognized yourself as a bully because you were following probably some of the patterns your father set up for you. And we do follow the examples.
I was an angry kid that was trying to hurt others the way I was being hurt by my father.
Absolutely. You had every reason to be angry.
Right. And what happens when you come from a childhood that's challenging, you become fragmented. You split into two. You're not congruent. And fragmentation means I'll never really trust people. I'll never share my feelings with people or with God. They both betrayed me. And you grow up with this belief. But the problem is you need something to make you feel good, something to make you whole inside, and you delusionally go to addiction. The addiction becomes your oxygen. It becomes your source of energy. You don't trust people, but you got to get it from somewhere else, and you stay fragmented until the day when you allow other people, healers in your life, to help tell you that so many of the fears, so many of your beliefs or misconceptions, and they got to die at some point. And you have to start to believe in people again. And when you believe in people again, that's when you move away from addiction and you start to trust intimacy. I don't know of any addict that grew up trusting intimacy. The fear of people and intimacy is what brought them to their addiction. Now, for me, that's what did it for me. And when I wrote my parenting book, I really looked back and I said, you know what? What can I give my children that I didn't have? And for me, it started out with pure and simple. I need to create a safe place for my children, a place where they could share their feelings, whether they want to talk about their sexual orientation, their curiosity with drugs, whether they want to talk about their fear of being bullied, whether they want to talk about anything. A parent needs to create that safe place that their child can share their struggles with. If their child does not have that, there's a good shot they'll develop those negative core beliefs, start to fragment themselves, and worse, solicit that advice from the wrong people. So
absolutely,
this is the first thing I tell parents.
Yes, absolutely. So let's go on to, you mentioned the importance of intimacy, and that relates to good parenting or awareness of the needs of others. What do you think men and women might really want in a relationship? And how can they achieve that?
They want the same thing.
Yeah,
everybody wants to feel important. They want to feel valued. When I have couples that come to me, they tell me all about their stories and the content. The guy wants to be right. The woman wants to be right. They want to be heard. At the end of the day, they want the same thing. They want to be respected, valued, and important to the people they love the most.
Absolutely.
And that's really what they want. And
yeah,
what they have is all of these self-defense mechanisms, all these stories they make up, manufactured. So many of our fears are imagined, not real. They're negative. They time travel. They go back and they make their spouse the voice of their parents. And all of a sudden, they're they can be very sensitive to criticism when their spouse is not criticizing them. But if they grew up in a house where they were so criticized, and when they made a mistake, they felt like a mistake. They weren't allowed to slip in life. And all of these things will show up in their interpersonal relationships, especially with their significant other.
But, Tom, you give very good tips to enhance intimacy in your life. The first one, we were just talking about that before, was to create an environment for safe communication and in healthy relationships. What does that mean? That you can't rage at your partner and expect them not to withdraw emotionally. So the foundation is with communication. And that's what this show is about. Now, you also tell us about some of the other 7 tips. First, safe communication.
First, if you have no communication, you're done. That's right. The foundation the house is built on. So communication means I need to set up a safe environment for my children, my wife, my husband, where I can hear their feelings. Remember, feelings are not right and wrong. They're not true and false. They're feelings. We need to validate that. I could disagree with my son, but still validate his feelings.
Yes.
You know, I hear you. I hear how you feel. Validating feelings, giving him the openness or my wife the openness to share their feelings, to know that I'm listening to them, to validate what they're saying. I could disagree. We could agree to disagree. But I need to create that safe place. I need to know what words are triggering. That rules of engagement is so important. If I know when I tell my wife, oh, gee, you're like your mother, and it's going to shut her down, I need to take that out of my vocabulary. I need to create that safe environment so that feelings are expressed, validated, and heard. Doesn't mean you got to agree with them, but you got to be able to share them. Next, for children, you got to be curious with your children. You got to know what sites they're on. You got to know who their friends are, who their friends' parents are. Next, you need to celebrate their victories. If your child is something you're proud of, so even if it's like coloring within the lines of a coloring, celebrate that. Take that child for a slice of pizza. Take that child for some help. Celebrate that. It's very important to celebrate your children's victories. You know, my son walked over to me last year. He was in eighth grade. He said, Dad, you know, some of my kids smoke weed. I'm very curious what it's like to smoke weed. Now, what I wanted to tell him, Cheryl, was, look, stay in your room till you're 26 years old, come out, and then you'll be okay. That's what I wanted to tell him. But what I didn't is I asked him, what do you know about weed? Let's talk about it. Let's have a discussion.
Right.
Let's go on the computer. Let's find out about weed. How does weed go to other drugs? Now, I told him there's no consequences. Look, if you choose to smoke weed, you may choose to go to jail. Like we tell our children, if you don't put your toys away, you chose not to play with your toys later. It's the choices they make. We need to make them responsible. So as I'm talking to my son, I'm giving him his choices. I'm being curious with him. What does he know about weed? I'm creating that safe place. He came to me to talk to me about weed. And a couple of weeks later, I said, hey, how you doing with that? And he said, you know, Dad, I don't hang out with those kids anymore. Here's the moral of the story. I did not have to control him. I did not have to bend his arm and say, don't you dare play with those kids anymore. He made the decision on his own. That's what you need to do to create a child with self-esteem, awareness, and integrity that can face the world and know that they can be okay, that their parents are behind them, but their parents aren't going to run in and fix everything. They have their own coping mechanisms.
No, we shouldn't run in and fix everything. We should allow them to make discoveries on their own and make these choices with good advice, with good information, as you did. That was great what you did. And you also mentioned that relationships are not always 50-50. A lot of people don't recognize this. They think, tit for tat, you went shopping for me and got to CVS, and now I want you to go to the cleaners and pick up, you know, the rest of the stuff. They just expectation, which you should. Talk about 50-50, because that's a very important concept. We are equal in our energy and in wishing to be fair and in our spirit, but in physical life, sometimes people have abilities that help them in one way and other people have abilities that help them and each other in a different way. So we can't be always judging. So 50-50.
Well, as a parent, what we need to do is let our children get out of their own messes. That doesn't mean if they're in impending danger, we don't rush in and help them. But if a child does not know how to learn how to get out of their own messes, my children were bullied. And they came, my son came to me. And again, I created that safe place where he shared he was being bullied. And we spoke about what his feelings were. We spoke about what he could do first. Maybe he could sit on the other side of the room, not participate and talk to the bully. What could he do first? And I'm there for him. I came in, I spoke to the teacher, I spoke to the principal. But again, our children have to learn, unless they're in impending danger now, to get out of their own messes. I want my son, when he gets old enough, to have enough coping mechanisms so he can face life on life's terms, and he could learn how to do that. Now, I tell parents all the time, if you're going to rush in and always get them out of their own messes, your child is going to be mad at you when he grows up or she grows up, and you're not going to understand why. You're going to say, I don't get this. I was always there for them. I always rushed in. Well, that's why they didn't build the confidence they needed to get out of their own messes, and they're going to be mad at the parents that rushed in all the time.
Let's go on to Tom. What is the challenge we have with media messages now and the technology more than ever before? How is it impacting our children and the way they're thinking and their perceptions and interactions with the family?
Well, the media is terrible because it breaks our children up into the have and have-nots. Look,
yes.
What the media's goal is to sell their products. That's their goal. So they tell kids what weight they should be, what clothes they should wear, what food they should buy, what kids they should hang out with. And what it's creating, really, it's fueling, first of all, the bully mentality because it's breaking up people into the better and less than category. But it's also giving the children the message that if you don't weigh a certain amount or if you don't dress a certain amount or if you don't eat these foods and buy these clothes, they're not good enough. Now, that's where the parent has to rush in and give the child the message that they're good enough for who they are, unconditional love. With all their pimples, they're just lovable for who they are because the media takes that message away from them.
Absolutely, and they're also shoving down our throats television stars and sports celebrities and everything
Yeah.
that we should honor and respect. And what about the heroes? Now, this can be seen in the recent presidential bid for the GOP and in general by all politicians who know that they can be elected by just dominating the media. And it doesn't even have to be admirable qualities that they're displaying for the public. At this point in history, seems to like a messy show. But Tom, you write, and I so agree, and I want to read this to our listeners. Real heroes rarely lead our country. The people who do are only looking for something in return. What happened to helping others without getting anything in return? As a society, we've forgotten how to act properly. We've become self-centered, lost our manners, and learned to medicate our dysfunctions in many different ways.
Absolutely.
So there it is. That's what we started talking about at the beginning of the show.
Right. I can't give my children what I don't have. And if I'm texting all day, I can't tell my child not to text. If I'm smoking all day, I can't tell my child not to smoke. The message just is not delivered as powerful as if I model good behavior to my child. And, you know, we have a problem today. I want to tell you, I speak in a lot of forums all over the place, and pornography is running rampant. Most kids by 11 have viewed pornography already. By 11 years old, most teenagers have viewed more pornography and men in their 50s. I mean, we're objectifying women and men. People are body parts. The media helps promote that. And we have children nowadays that don't have any social skills. They don't know that. They're not bad kids, but they don't know enough to get up on a bus and give their seats to an elderly person or person who needs it. It's not that they're bad kids.
Well,
nobody's a bad
you know
kid.
What?
They just are not modeled.
Tom, I'm sure you do this. I do this. My students, I'm a Reiki master teacher. I do energy healing, and I do readings for people. I interconnect with higher energy and get information from that higher realm of information. And we show by example. We live our lives. Of course, it's sad there's only 20% of people who are displaying what you and I are talking about here, but we must do it because it does shift energy. It does show children and adults who are not functioning at this level to pay attention to improve themselves. Now, I'm going to ask you a big question. What are some ways to circumvent all these problems and issues that we're discussing with our children, with our mates, with our business associates, with everybody in our government? What are some of the ways we've got to start to interact?
I think the first way is to take responsibility for our own actions. I don't care what realm we're in. That's my first book is called The Problem Was Me. Now, my wife loved that title, I have to tell you. But the point was is that the book was named after what I know I needed to do. I needed to look at myself first. Because you know what? We talk, Cheryl, all day about business acquaintances and parenting. And the most important relationship all of us have is not the one with our business associates, with our spouse, with our children, our parents. It's the one we have with ourselves. There's nothing more important than that relationship. And if we're good with who we are, if we feel good in our own skin, everything else is going to get better. It just is. Because we're more confident. We don't give our power away to other people.
Absolutely.
We build boundaries. And that needs to be worked on first. So when we talk about all these other external relationships that you just mentioned, there's nothing more important than that. I tell my clients that all the time. You know, they'll come in and a spouse will say what they want from their spouse. I want. I want to be taken to dinner. I want sex. I want. My next question is the sticky one, and that is, what do you need to do to get your want? What do you need to do to get your want? You know, it's easy to go around saying, I want, but you know what? What the tougher question is taking responsibility. What do I need to do to get that want?
Tom.
And that's something that...
Yeah, we can only change ourselves. We cannot change other people. Excellent.
Absolutely.
I want to thank you, Thomas Gagliano, for a very helpful guide for parents and educators to begin to realize that the fears and limitations that we have long ago internalized in our own childhood often are passed down to our children. Yeah. While we loved them, while we wished them to be safe and flow through life with success and health, sometimes we create unconsciously a recreation of our own issues that have gone unresolved. So we need to work on ourselves. For more information on how to find the tools and thoughts necessary to rewrite the program of our lives and that of our children, go to thomasgagliano.com.
Yes, problemwithme.com. It's a lot easier than trying to figure out how to spell my last name.
Excellent. Okay, thank you. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Tom has taken us on a journey of the experiences of his childhood, but basically almost all our childhood, to look at the causes and solutions to so many issues that we all face today as parents. We should wish our children to have integrity, honesty, and to act kindly towards themselves and others. But in a fast-moving technological society, there are so many challenges your child will face while growing up and later on in life. Understanding the roles we all play, and as parents, teaching healthy, positive emotions to be used when engaging social activities, family, school, work experiences, will help our children find a supportive group of friends, make good decisions and choices, achieve the goals and dreams that they hold dear, and be the example for their children later on, and help them to trust themselves. And that's the way to go. Thomas wrote, "When our children ask for help, we need to allow them to tell us what they think they should do to solve their problems before we offer solutions. We want to help them, but not make their problems ours to solve. If we provide our children with a supportive environment when they fail, they'll appreciate their victories even more. If we don't provide a supportive environment, they'll be overwhelmed when they go out on their own, and they won't be prepared for life. The world won't treat them the way Mom and Dad do. Thomas and I would have you trust the innate wisdom of your child's inner being. They were born with everything they need to succeed and find happiness and their place in the world, but we need to allow them the opportunities to learn, grow, and make their own way forward. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to listen to and read about authors and practitioners who seek the infinite world of energy, life, health, wisdom, science, spirituality, and imagination in hopes of making our personal and collective consciousness vibrate at a level that allows growth and possibilities for an improved life condition. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.